Jesus warned us in Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Bible Believers Fellowship presents our series on the Signs and Wonders Movement at KJV, BibleBelievers.com, and by listening weekly to Bible Believers Fellowship Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. on 91.5 FM WHKC.
Imagine you had 15 seconds to find shelter from an incoming missile, 15 seconds to locate your children, help an elderly relative, or assist a disabled person to find shelter. 15 seconds is all the residents of Sderot and neighboring Israeli towns have. Day or night, the sirens go on. 15 seconds later, the missiles fired from Hamas-controlled Gaza hit. Their aim is to kill and wound and demoralize. This is what Israelis experience daily. Since 2001, Hamas has fired 10,000 rockets into Sderot and surrounding Israeli towns. Since 2001, the United Nations has failed to stop or even condemn this constant barrage of rockets. Since 2001, America has not been hit by terrorism, but Israel is hit almost daily. Since 2001, the world continues to condemn the Jews in Israel for simply wanting to exist and to protect themselves from attack. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Psalm 122, verse 6.
Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship, where we love you enough to tell you the truth. This program is part 3 in our series on the Signs and Wonders Movement as we look at the biblical test of a prophet. Today, the number of false prophets seems to spread like a virus. Various Christian TV networks have become a nest filled with these foul spirits parading as prophets of God. But the sad fact is there is no reason for anyone to be taken advantage of by these charlatans. God has given us the test to use on these men and women who financially rape believers around the world so that they can live the lives of millionaires. Before we go to the program, we would encourage you to visit our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can download this message as well as the other Signs and Wonders messages absolutely free of charge in MP3 format. Feel free to burn CDs and hand them out to folks who need to hear these important messages. You can also access hundreds of other messages, and they are all absolutely free of charge at kjvbiblebelievers.com. Now open your King James Bible and join us in our study as we look at the biblical test of a prophet.
Well, Numbers 11:29 is where we start. We're going to ask Mike, if you would, just to read Numbers chapter 11 and verse 29.
And Moses said unto him, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them."
It's the right attitude to want to be used of God, and it's the right attitude to want everybody to be used of God. I would that all of you were preachers, but you're not. Not all of you. A couple of you, I got an idea, but not all of you. And he's not called women to pastor. So you know you're not a pastor if you're a lady, and you know you're not a pastor if you're a man, and God hasn't called you to do that. But it's the right attitude to want to be used of God. Now turn over one page in my Bible. Numbers 12, verse 6. God describes the prophet for us. We don't have to wonder. We know exactly what the prophet, who the prophet is. Jenny, read verse 6 for us.
And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream."
And there you go. A prophet's somebody that God speaks directly to in a dream and a vision. It's not somebody who sits and just tries to feel their way through and listen to what you're saying and read your mind. And that's a psychic technique. You watch a guy named John Edwards, who used to be on syndicated TV, and that's all he does. He asks questions, and he kind of guesses, and they're taught these techniques, and then they make you think they're really able to know things. And once they get you hooked, you're hooked. Well, that's not how God works. And God works with a prophet. He gives them a dream or a vision and speaks to them. And he tells over in Deuteronomy, the next book over, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Go ahead and start us off there in verse 1, Charlie.
If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder.
Verse 2, Hannah.
And if the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying that a scroll after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them.
Answer verse 3.
Thou shalt know, hearken unto the word of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God purposeth to know. Wherever ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
So you following that? He says, if there arise up a prophet or someone who claims to have heard from God in a dream, and they even do a sign or a wonder, but then they say, let us go after other gods, even though they did the sign, even though they may prophesy and it comes true, if they say, let us go after other gods, you ignore them. Or like I like to say, junk them. Just forget it. If it's in a book, trash it. It's on TV, turn the channel. Okay, verse 4, Annie.
Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee.
Now, that's under a theocracy. And under a theocracy, in the nation of Israel, if someone were to prophesy and get it wrong one time, they were to be killed. Now, in our day, we're not to go out killing people. But the standard is the same. You get it wrong one time, you go into retirement. Benny Hinn prophesied that in the 90s, God would destroy the gay community. Retire, Benny. Pat Robertson's got it wrong several times. Oral Roberts said he saw a 700-foot Jesus who told him to bilk everybody out of about $100 million, and if he didn't get, or I think it was $70 million, if he didn't get that, he would die. He didn't get it, but he's still alive. Retire. And I could go on and on. All these guys are making millions of dollars because the suckers are out there to give them the money, but they should be ignored and they ought to retire, according to the Bible. Signs and wonders are not the test of a true prophet. Accuracy is. They can do all the signs and wonders and pull rabbits out of hats or whatever they want to do. If they get it wrong when they prophesy, they're not of God. And any so-called prophet in our day that contradicts the gospel message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone is a false prophet. This makes me unpopular, but Robert Schuller did it. He's out. Billy Graham did it. He's out. Joel Osteen did it. He's out. And once Christians grow some spine and start telling these guys that contradict that gospel, you're out, things would improve. Don't expect it to happen anytime soon. But that's what we need to do. Now let's go over to Deuteronomy 18. Just a couple pages over. And Deuteronomy 18. Mariah, start in verse 20.
But the prophet which all presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die.
And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken?
And if a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken in
presumptuously.
Thou shalt not be afraid of him.
pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, if he speaks presumptuously, that means he's not speaking of God, he's speaking of his own. And if he does speak of his own, and the thing he spoke doesn't come to pass, that's it. Pretty clear. I mean, that's not too hard. God didn't make it too difficult. The test of a prophet is simple and obvious. 100% accuracy. Or that person is a false prophet. Close your books, we're done. That's really, that's all there is to it. It's very simple. You kids know, you have enough sense. Someone comes up and tells you a big, fat, hairy, burning lie. And what are you going to do? You're going to think, they're a liar. I don't think I'll trust them. A kid comes up to Ezra and says, the teacher likes to be called, hey, stupid. You're not going to walk up and say to your teacher, hey, stupid, are you? Because you'd get in trouble, wouldn't you? Mommy would probably get a phone call. Well, anytime someone says you can get to God through any other means than through Jesus Christ and the gospel is telling you to walk up to the Father and say, hey, stupid. Because the Father said, you can only get to me through my Son and by believing in His death, burial, and resurrection. If you think you can get up any other way, you're saying the Father is stupid. You're saying Jesus is a liar. Jesus said if anyone tried to get up any other way, he's a thief and a robber. But you're saying Jesus is a liar. Or that prophet who, and they're out there, watch Oprah Winfrey if you don't believe me. The prophets are out there, but they'll tell you Jesus isn't the only way. Of course, we looked on the website that Cheryl sent me the link for, the new church. Jesus isn't the only way. There are many paths to heaven. Liars. Our president, George W. Bush, on two different occasions was asked if he believed you had to go through Jesus Christ. He said, no. Do you believe the Bible's literal? Probably not. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, George. And it is going to get worse. I mean, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse because it's becoming acceptable. There was a time when someone stood up and said the things that all those guys I just mentioned said that people would have ostracized them. And now they realize, hey, it's not really that bad. I mean, I may have lost some supporters, but I'm still able to have a ministry.
People want justification for their sin.
Yes.
Right.
You're right. Instead of repenting and being forgiven, they want to justify. Well, and that's really what he's getting at in the text in Deuteronomy 13 is he knows your heart, and he knows that if you're not right, then he's going to let you go. He'll, you know, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. We're going to see something I think should be fascinating. Fascinated me when I first studied it. Let's go ahead and move to the book of 1 Samuel. There's some really fascinating stuff about prophets in the Bible that goes unread and unstudied. Tori, read 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 10.
And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand.
I won't go on with the story. I want you to focus in there. Look at the beginning of the verse. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Why? God's sovereign. God knew Saul's heart. God allowed that evil spirit to just have at it. Why? Because he knew his heart. Just like in Deuteronomy 13, people who are rebellious at heart, God will send them false prophets who are able to do signs and wonders. It isn't because God's making them fall. They are rebelling against Him, and He just gives them enough rope to hang themselves. Because why? God believes in giving men the ability or the choice or the right to do what they want to do. And that's why when man stand before God, none of them are going to blame God. God will remind them of the time He dealt with them, and He'll remind them of their own thoughts and their heart and their rebellion, and remind them that you did this. I didn't do it. It's all you. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God is also not willing that He forces you. It has to be you willing to accept what He is doing in your life and to turn to Him in repentance and be saved. Let's go another page over, 1 Samuel 19. Mike, start us in verse 18. We're going to read a few verses here. Okay, and let's just read on around. And Mike, go ahead and start us.
So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth.
And it was told Saul, saying, Behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah.
And Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied.
And when it was told, Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also.
Then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Shechem, and he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And one said, Behold, they be at Naioth in Ramah.
Ramah, you guys do a great job. Okay, verse 23.
And he went thither to Naioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah.
And he stripped off his clothes also, and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets?
And somebody says, the Bible ain't interesting. If you were paying attention as we read there, you saw quite a fascinating little display. You got in verse 18, David's fleeing, and then Saul sent down some men, and God came over them, the Spirit of God came over them, they started to prophesy. And then they told Saul about it, and he sent messengers a second and a third time, and the Spirit of God comes on them, and they prophesy. And then so Saul goes down, and the Spirit of God comes on him, and he prophesies, and he strips naked, and it says, prophesied before Samuel. He lay down naked all that day and night. In this sense, at least the way I read it, God is using prophecy like it's a weapon, in order to stop or thwart the will of Saul. We read that, was it two nights ago, where Balaam's ass talks to him, and he starts to beat to it. And the kids are like, didn't he realize he was talking to a donkey? But one thing about this, you know, just like with a donkey or whatever, God can do whatever he wants. And God, that's one thing we want to emphasize, is that we're not trying to put God in a box. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18 and verse 27. And we'll read 27, 28, 29, and 30. Go ahead and read, Mariah.
And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking or he is in a journey. Or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake.
And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor anything answered, nor any day regarded.
And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he prepared the altar of the Lord. That was broken down.
So here you have the prophets of Baal, and they've got this ecstatic, emotional thing going on, even to the point of cutting themselves and all that. It says they prophesied. Well, then, let's see how Elijah turns it on them. And Mike, you start in verse 36, and we'll keep going.
And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word.
Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again.
And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was on the trench.
And then all the people saw it. They fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the progress of bow. Let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the rock Kishon, and threw them there.
So you see the response that God has, the false prophets. He has a special hatred for false prophets. And through Elijah, destroyed them. And that's in a, again, non-physical, non-violent sense. That's how we should be with false prophets. Put them out. I want to show you how our attitude should be over in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we left off with Ezra, so we have Annie read. Psalm 119, 104. If you have your highlighters, this is a good one to highlight.
"Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way."
Oh, what a dirty word. Annie, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. How could you even say the word hate? And that's why you don't hear that preached. I hate every false way. Every false way. Jesus said if it wasn't through Him, it's false. Hate it, though. It doesn't say just not like it or ignore it and pretend it's not there. It doesn't say that. Hate every false way. Did you highlight that one? Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells us what's going to happen to the false prophets. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start with Cheryl in verse 21. Cheryl, Mariah, and Kayla, read 21 through 23.
"Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?
And then will I prophesy unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity."
Did you see that? Verse 22. "Many will say to me, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Jesus is going to look at them and say, "I never knew you." Many false prophets will be in hell, according to Jesus. And one last place is 1 John. This is where we'll stop. Serenity, you'll read this one for us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. This is a commandment that we're following tonight. This commandment is what we're doing tonight and what we're preparing tonight to do the rest of our lives. You hear that, kids? This verse is a commandment that we are doing tonight and we are preparing tonight to do it the rest of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, Serenity. And by the way, highlight it. Highlight the verse. Okay, go ahead, Serenity.
"Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world."
That's a commandment. Many false prophets around the world, try them. What's that mean? It says put them on trial. You make them prove themselves. You don't sit back and passively listen and say, I wonder. Well, they might be true. Or they might be wrong sometimes. No, that's not the way. We put them on trial. We make the prophet prove they're true. Every word we take down, if they get it wrong one time, they retire. I'm telling you, this isn't, of course, Gregology, we just read it from the Word of God, and I've been taught this myself before, but this is the key to having revival in the church today. What's killing revival are too many frauds in the pulpits and too many people putting up with the frauds in the pulpits. There's too many churches sucking the life out of the work of God, putting the money and the people where they can't be used, and the true churches that are preaching the truth don't have the people or the funds to do what they need to do. And that's why we call this the lukewarm age, the apostasy.
So, when you are calling people out of these things, and you're also explaining these things to other people, and they come back at you with you're being judgmental.
Say amen. The spiritual man judgeth all things, Paul says. When they say, judge not, they're misquoting Jesus Christ, and that's what you need to remind them of. Say, listen, Jesus doesn't like to be interrupted. You cut him off. Go read the whole thing. Jesus says, judge not, lest ye be judged likewise by the same measure. He's saying, don't judge by a measure you can't live up to. Are you a false prophet? Then don't judge other false prophets. If you're not a false prophet, you have every right in the world, and you are commanded. And then turn them over to 1 John 4:1 and ask them, why don't you obey Jesus Christ? Jesus commands you to test the spirits. So you got to turn around on them. This holier than thou thing about me, I'm so good because I don't judge people. No, that is blind stupidity. That's the kind of people who fall into the cults, who follow the Benny Hinn's, and are a shame and a disgrace and bringing reason to blaspheme for the world to blaspheme Jesus Christ.
And these open-minded people like that talk like this here, the ones that do the second part of judgment, of condemning others for doing...
Yeah, they're judging you for judging others. Why are you judging me?
But they do the condemnation part of it, too.
Right.
And it's not you saying it, it's God's word.
That's a great point.
That's
exactly right. It's not Charlie saying, I think. It's Charlie saying, thus saith the Lord. As we approach the time of the return of Jesus Christ, we know that churches and denominations and so-called ministers, as well as Bible colleges and seminaries, are going into apostasy. Men use their ability to complicate simple matters so that the gospel is distorted, sodomy is accepted, sin is winked at, and truth is crucified on the altar of world religion and ecumenical unity. We intend to stand out in this day of compromise, not by making much of small issues, but by majoring on the major issues and fighting the good fight of faith against the false prophets and false religion of our day. We would ask that you pray about joining us in this fight by telling others about this ministry, sharing our web address at kjvbiblebelievers.com, downloading our messages, and burning CDs to start your own CD ministry. Many ministries copyright their materials and threaten people with lawsuits if they copy and distribute those materials. They have every right to do so legally. But Bible Believers Fellowship encourages you to copy and distribute our materials. We have folks in several states and several foreign countries who have told us that they do just that. And if we could raise up an army of gospel soldiers in the trenches who will give away these messages, email and invite friends to the website, and tell others about the radio broadcast in Central Ohio, we could multiply our impact on a lost and dying world in these last days. At this time, we have video uploads being viewed by thousands on our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com, as well as on sites like YouTube, Yahoo Video, Metacafe, MySpace Video, Facebook, Tangle, and elsewhere. Our audio server is sermonaudio.com, and in all of these sources combined, we are recording tens of thousands of downloads in all 50 states and more than 30 foreign countries. We appreciate your prayers for this ministry and hope you will continue to join us for our study of the King James Bible. This program was brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Thank you for listening.